Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. And all I do, I honor you. Amen? Okay. Hallelujah. Y'all may be seated. I'm still learning what that means. How about y'all? In all that you do, I honor you. You know, one of the problems, we think that what we do perfect, we honor God. Are y'all ready to listen? What we think is that when we do things perfect, we honor God. We need to learn and be comfortable in that all we do, I honor you. Because that opens up the door for when we're doing something that doesn't honor Him, He'll tell us. We won't be ashamed. We won't be condemned. He'll just say, I'd rather you do it this way. Amen? We don't have to worry about it. A lot of things have been running through my mind, especially about how to honor Him. Haley, would you like to sing a song? Would y'all like to hear her sing a song? Why don't you go right up there where they can see you? Does this work? Haley goes around the house singing this song that she made up. And she's getting bold enough now to sing it. And I want you to keep in mind, in all that we do, we honor Him. Not how perfect we do it in. Amen? Testing. Can I have your gum for a minute? Let's do some manners here, okay?
God, you are the one, the Holy One. There is no other God like you. 'Cause you are the only one on the earth that knows about us. You made the earth. God, you are the one, the Holy, Holy One. God, you are the one. You made the earth and you made the sun and skies.
Thank you. God like that. She's ornery like that. I don't know where she gets it from. I really don't. Seed always brings a harvest, you know that? You may not know when, you may not know where, but seed will bring a harvest if you'll just let Him take care of it. Why don't we pray right quick and let's just turn this thing over to God. Father, you know what we have need of here this evening. You know what each and every one of us have need of. I ask you, in the way that only you can do, is to meet the need. Point to the need and then give the answer and do it once again in the way only you can do it. We cast this on you now, knowing that when we leave here we'll be changed. We will know more about you. We will know more about what you know. Because you do love us and we stand in awe of that. Whatever we do here tonight, let it bring all praise and honor and glory to you. And because it will, because you've heard and answered, we give you thanks in advance in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, says, Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I'm kind of excited about tonight because I don't know what we're going to do. So I've got a few thoughts that I want to share with you. And we'll see where that takes us. Is that all right with y'all? I know that in my life, God has mandated that I draw near to Him. Now, past is not good enough. Future is not what He's looking for. He wants right now. Does that make sense? When He says something, He means right now. He's been very much dealing with me about how I was going to do that. So I made a decision to lean up a little bit. You know what I mean? Not just in body weight, but in mental weight. You know, sometimes we get fat in our brains. You understand? It slows us down, hurts circulation. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. We don't think as well. We get clogged. So I said, okay, Monday morning, it's time. It doesn't make any difference how much time I've been thinking and talking. It's not enough. 5 o'clock, we're going to hit that. We're going to get out there and do whatever it takes to make God happy. Not to make me happy. I'm not happy already. 'Cause I don't I normally get up fairly good hour, but not at 5. I felt like God impressed that on me, and so I said, okay, you want me up, you get me up. I don't set an alarm clock. Now, if you ever come to my house at 8 and I'm in bed, I'm dead. Let's go there. You're safe. Because I don't sleep till 8. But by the same token, I don't set an alarm. I said, you get me up at that time. And guess what time he woke me up? 4:59. Wide awake. I said, okay, I got the answer. We're going to go out and we're going to just accomplish the whole thing today. So I got up and I put my clothes on and I went out and I ran and I walked and I prayed and I did. I talk to God. To me, I don't even like the word prayer because I don't say let you and I go pray. Let you and I go visit is what we do. And when God wants us, He wants to visit. He doesn't want. And, you know, He started talking to me again about casting all my cares. I would like to be the caretaker of the entire world. I would like to take your cares and yours. Because I'm so smart, I know how to take care of them. The enemy is faithful to tell you whatever you want to hear. And so I learned something very quickly in that session. And one of them is I've misunderstood and misdefined the word care. This is easy enough. Anything that puts a burden on us is care. And He wants to be the caretaker. He wants to take the cares, but a caretaker doesn't just take care. He takes care of whatever needs to be done. That's what a caretaker does. Give me a list and I'll take care of it. Oh, God's not that easy. I didn't write His word. I'm not here to say, well, it's nearly that, but it doesn't quite mean that. That's not. Why don't we just take Him at His word? Cast all your cares on me. I'll care for you. And of course, in this process, you know, I got some aches and pains, so I just cast those on Him. Does Oliver cast a headache on Him? Does Oliver cast any kind of pain? How about a worry? How about a financial problem? So I started doing that. Man, I cast. Things came to my mind and I was casting. You know, the day was good. I push away from the house about 7:30 usually and I'm ready to go. Well, the next day I can't move. Everything hurts. I'm not talking about just the muscles. I got pains in places that you don't get pains. I got problems. Let me tell you what happened. I got up in the morning at 5 o'clock and I'm ready to go and I'm putting on my running shoes and I put my glasses on just like this and I reach up and do this to push them up and pow, they pop right in two. Right in the frame. Right in the middle of the frame. You can't break there. You know what I didn't do? I didn't say just what I thought. I'm not supposed to do this. I'm going back to bed. You look at the devil. No, you don't look at him. But you know what? The enemy's attacking, trying to stop it in every way he can. And you say, I'm not going to do it. No, I don't need those to walk and run in the dark. And I think somewhere I got an old pair of glasses. We'll break them out and use them. Tonight's probably the first time I haven't been limping. And I mean limping in quite a while. Since Monday. I can't even get in and out of the truck. So what? That's a care. You understand? It's a care you cast. Every time there's a pain comes, care that you cast. Every time there's a worry. Every time there's a threat. Every time there's a pair of broken glasses. What difference does it make? When are we going to learn to obey God? When something's making us cry, when something's making us hurt, when something's making us worry, it is a command of God to give it to Him. Now, if I give it away properly, it is no longer mine to handle. That's the problem. You give up ownership. You give up control. The enemy will bring along some of the best worries that you can imagine. And all of them justified. All of them worthwhile. It's a good cause to worry about this. Yeah, but you're in the way. Because you haven't done what you were supposed to do. Instead, we pray. And I was telling Sonia this, I'm going to say it again, because you need to hear it twice. No, they need to hear it. This morning I got up, God woke me up at 4:55. Maybe we're going to get up earlier, I don't know. That's up to Him. I don't care. You know if He gets me up, He's got to provide fast sleep. It's not my worry. I go out to the hot tub, because I still can't run again yet. I can't even walk down. Anyway, I go back to the hot tub. It's dark. She's got this little rat dog that needs to be... Never mind. I took it out, and I did what I was supposed to do. I tied it on its leash out there in the yard so it could take care of its business. And I go out, and I get in the hot tub. And this little dog starts a yelping and a whining and a crying and making all kinds of racket. And it just won't quit, and I'm getting hostile. Is this a care? Well, you don't know how bad I wanted to cast this dog on him. But instead, I said, I give it to you, God, and I'm going to sit here. I'm not going to let it raise my blood pressure, and I'm not going to let it interfere with our communication, our time together. And so I kind of blocked it out. And pretty soon I hear, aw, aw, aw. And this isn't the dog this time. This is the coyotes. This dog with what he considered to be a problem, his crying and his yelling was saying, come eat me. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? He had targeted himself with his whining and crying. One of the scriptures we studied here not too long ago said he's seeking whom he may devour. When we decide to whine and cry and moan and groan, we are giving him permission to devour us. When we cast those things off on him, they can't find us to eat. When he got quiet, with a little aid from me, I'm proud to say, the coyotes they weren't honing in anymore. You get what I'm trying to tell you? See, God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's, religious terms, omnipotent. Good old boy terms, omnipotent. But the enemy's not. If I'm going to burst your bubble, let it be so. But the enemy does not know all, see all, and is not all powerful. And so he needs some help to find us. The best help is to whine and cry. While we're supposedly pointing our face towards God and saying, God! The enemy's saying, ooh, supper. Instead of saying, I don't have a problem. I've already cast that on you, God. May feel like a problem. May smell like a problem. May taste like a problem. But it's not, because you don't own it anymore. Let me say it another way. It's not your problem. It belongs to somebody else now. One that is omnipotent. Knew about it before you did. Had a plan to resolve it before you did. Good word? Then why are you worried about it? God is a jealous God. Now I'm going to say some strange... Let me say things in a strange way, just so that we can kind of torque the brain just a little bit. It's a good thing. God is in love with cares. He paid for them, and He wants them. And He gets jealous when you fight Him for them. You heard it put that way before? You become an adversary with Him when you want to hold on to your cares. And the jealousy is not against somebody else trying to have you. It's you trying to have you. Which is the definition of homosexuality. Do I need to say that a different way? Because y'all are looking at me like, huh? Or was that fat sizzling? God is a jealous God over everything about you. And He can't even talk to you correctly. He can't hug you correctly. He can't bless you correctly unless you cast your cares upon Him. And I think we have a hard time believing. Anytime you decide to cast all your cares, such as I did on Monday morning, again, it's not the first time I've done this. Maybe it's the most serious time, I'm not sure. There comes a test. You have to decide before you start the battle that you're up to the test. When you've done all you can do to stand, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to confess, I'm going to speak, I'm going to remind myself of Scripture, I'm going to quote it, I'm going to do whatever it takes. In this case, all you got to do is say, God, I cast it on you. I'm careless. I'm not going to be careful for anything. I'm not going to be full of care for any reason. I'm not going to be careful for anything. I've given it to you, God. I'm not. My wife and I have booked a trip. It is my birthday. It is our 20th anniversary. And it is her 20th birthday. Y'all do the math. Oh yeah, we're gone. That's the way you treat the enemy. You tell him you're gone after you're gone. After it's booked. Do you know who wanted this trip more than her? Me. God explained, God's great at explaining some things if we'll just listen once in a while. Jesus spoke in parables because that's how us dummies understood. And I prayed again today. I've prayed many a times. God, teach me to speak in parables. That's what you did, Jesus. I want to be able to do that. That's using facts of life that you and I deal with to understand God. And I got to thinking about it. I had to convince her to go away with me for 2 weeks to a Caribbean island. Oh no, she has cares. We can't be gone that long. Why is that? Well, we've got this and that and the other. Well, cast them. Cast them. How many times and how much time does God spend convincing us to go away with Him? And what kind of a heart does it take? Listen, you think you love God? You don't even understand the word compared to what He feels for you. How much He wants to fellowship with you. How much He treasures that. If we ever could feel 1 second about how He feels about us, we would just melt. We'd never have anything else to say. We'd stand in such awe of that vision of us through His eyes. Y'all believe that? Well, then why don't we just run away with Him? The best way to do that is find that place of care and leave. Leave with Him. Don't hide behind a bush thinking you're naked because you've already been playing around with cares. Y'all understand what I'm saying? What do you love the most in life? One of the things, I'm going to just share a lot of things God's been dealing with me. What do you love the most in life? Because that's where God's coming. He said, I'm a jealous God. You'll have no other gods above me. Or if my wife looked at me and she saw you looking at me and she looked at you and said, I'm a jealous wife and he'll not have another. What is she saying to you? Is that a threat? Did you know it's legal for God to threat? Only when He says it's a promise. I know you don't think of God that way, but that's who He is. He draws lines and said, don't cross that line. Don't even think about it. What do you love the most? You know where our idols and gods are? Let me just get over here and ask you a question. We'll start off right here. If I would ask you, whose God are you? Whose God? What God do you claim? You're going to quickly tell me. We're in a place here that it's easy to say. I'd rather hear you say it when you're in a struggle. But right now. Then the second question I'd like to ask you is, what God claims you? What God claims you? My wife just told me that one of her gods is work. Because she was going to choose the work over the time with me. Oops. You didn't know it was about you tonight, did you? But what toe did I just step on? Do you realize how many people would rather go to work than go to church? How many people, let me say it another way. How many people would choose work over church if work gives an offer? And God says, what about me? Didn't I say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together? Why do you think I said that? Because I want to be with you. And I'm a little hurt. Where's that thing in your purse? How many of you are controlled by time? I brought a watch to make a statement here. How many of you are controlled by time? That whatever it says on this face mandates what you do and how you do it and what God claims you. My daughter said, what in the world is that? That's a dive computer. It's not a watch, but it does tell me time. And it dictates to me during a dive exactly what I've got to do unless I don't pay any attention. Of course, when I don't want to know, then I take it off. Then I'll just do it by the seat of my pants. Or by religious terms, I'm led by the Spirit. See, if my seat of the pants belong to God, then you know who's leading me. And I don't have to tell you in a specific way. You trust me that much? If I say God is leading us that way, you'll say, ah, it's just something he ate. Or will you say, that's God. What God claims you. Let me look at a couple of scriptures with you. Can we do that? Go to Psalms chapter 19. Do you remember? I tried to describe to you again how much God loves you. Do you know that God loved you so much that he gave us laws? Most people don't like to look at the Bible as a book of laws, a book of love, but it's the same thing. When Psalms chapter 19, when we get free, the childish way to be free is I'm free from all laws. And yet you won't break man's laws like you will try to break God's laws. And yet man's laws, they're there for the bad people. God's laws are there for the good people. Psalms chapter 19. Are we going there? I got your paper right there. It's the, 19 verse 7. Thank you for speaking out. That way I can answer. By the way, anytime you guys want to speak out, take your risk. Take your risk. You never know what God has to say through you. 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect. Come on, perfect for who? Well, I know it's perfect for you. Now, for me, it's a little blinky, but for you, it's perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. Listen to this. Converting the soul. Why do I want to dwell in the law? Why do I want to go in and read, study, and why I want to listen to people that have studied for informational purposes? Because it is perfecting the soul, or converting the soul. Same thing. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You want to be wise? Look for the simplicity in the Scripture. It'll make you wise. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. You know how you become righteous? Through the statutes of the Lord that are righteous. Rejoicing the heart. All right, now we study the word why. God loves you so much that he wanted you to be happy. And so all you got to do is, oh God. And your heart goes, woo-hoo. This is good. Rejoice in the Lord. How do you do that? Personal visits, scriptural visits, same thing. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. It is not polluted, therefore it does not die. It lives forever. Enduring forever. What does that mean? Oh, Dad doesn't work. Generation to generation, if Dad is speaking the law of the Lord, oh, Dad, you're just so old-fashioned, doesn't work anymore. Because it endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. The judgments of the Lord are true, righteous, and all together. Big Mac and a bag of chips. All together. You don't have to go anywhere else to get it all. Verse 10, more to be desired. Remember how it said what God claims you? More to be desired are they than gold. Does diamond and gold have a hold of you? Let me say it another way. There are some pretty rings in this house, but they're not near as pretty as God. And I tell you what, I'd throw it away in a second if I thought God was jealous about it. What does that mean? That means in any way it caused him any discomfort. I'd cast that care on him. It's better than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. You know, honey in the honeycomb is very good for you, but not near as good for you as God, his word. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. You know, it sounds to me like that this thing that we've always referred to as law might be a lot more than law. It might be, I love you so much, that if you'll just trust me, I'll make you smart and healthy. I'll prosper you. You'll fall in love with the right things and fall out of love with the wrong things. Your treasures will be adjusted. I quoted this to you last week, but I'll do it again. Psalms chapter 19, verse 14. This is legal, by the way. When my wife was resisting me about going on this celebration, I have the right to persuade. How do you think God persuades? Bride, give me your hand. You're going with me, or I'll kill you. Or, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to eat well. We're going to dive well. We're going to lay on the beach, and we're going to enjoy each other, and we're going to enjoy the atmosphere. Now, which one is more convincing? Well, don't you think that's what I just read to you? That sounds like an invitation to a party. When we listen to God, when we fellowship with God, when we open the Word, we literally are walking to the party. We've been convinced. How do I know that? Well, Psalms chapter 19, verse 14. God, maybe I'm always not faithful to this, but please let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And this is what happens. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Her response should have been, you know best. The bride's response should always be, you know best. I trust you. You know what you're really saying now? Just leave it at that. I don't have to explain it. You just do it. That's what the Scripture says. Just trust me. Do it. See if I won't take care of you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 9. Let's start with verse 5. Remember what I said, that you treat the Scripture like it's not complicated but simple? Well, sometimes simplicity is not written here. It's in what God writes on your heart. Now, what we look at this, and say, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Oh, yuck. I hate that word, submit. See, I can say that out loud because God knows I do. It's not a surprise to Him. I hate that word, submit. Well, let me show you the word submit. Come go with me to Cozumel. We're going to have so much fun. And she says, okay. And she just submitted. What did she submit to? What did she just submit to? Did that look like a negative thing when she submitted? God says, run away with me. Spend some time with me. Submit to me and see what happens. Submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive one to another. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Why? That He may exalt you in due time. I know packing is a pain. And I know having to do the paperwork and everything to make it where we can be gone 2 weeks is a pain. But just humble yourself to that and watch what happens. You hear what I'm saying? Do we look at God's promise as a heavy burden? Or is it really a promise? If you'll do this for me, far beyond anything you can think or ask, what's I'm going to do for you? I will exalt you in due time. If, number one, you'll cast your cares upon me, then number two will happen. I'll care for you. You first. You first. Did you know this is the way God talks to us? I've given you promises. Go on, I'll show you again. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith. Resist him, listen, resist him by being steadfast in faith. Faith in what? Faith in the one you just cast your cares upon. Is he capable? Or do you need to pick up that clock? Do you need to reach for that savings account? Do you need to begin to worry? Do you need to begin to work a little harder, worry a little harder? Is it really up to you? Or are you in the way when you say it's up to me? Jeremiah 33:3. Jump to there and I'm going to show you the next one. Remember I told you wanted to? God says, here I am. I'm waiting for your response. Jeremiah 33:3 says this. Call to me and I will answer you. 1 and 2. What's the first step? Who takes it? So God the Father says, call me. And I'll answer. And then he sits and waits. What for? The call. We get dense. And when you call, and this is the reason you will call, and this is the promise, I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Oh, man. Y'all don't need that. You know everything. Well, I'm not going to get in that boat. I need to know a lot more. So I'm going to make a few calls. And I'm going to expect him to answer. The call is not going to be, "Oh, I'm white and I'm hungry, I'm thirsty." Ah! Because now the enemy starts focusing in. The call that I make is, "Hey, God, I want to have an answer for this. Do you know what's going on? I'm sorry, I know you know what's going on, but I don't. Could you show me?" And he said, "I'll show you things you do not know." I got goosebumps. Y'all can have a few if you want. This is exciting stuff. He'll answer the phone. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. "I love those that love me." Ooh, I thought he loved everybody. No, he didn't. He died for everybody. That's what it says. He died for everybody. But then he says, "I love those that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me." Let me give you a clue to this. That doesn't mean you have to get up at 5 in the morning to find God. What it means is early means first place. Those that seek me first will find me. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that if he's second, third, fourth down the list, after you've gone to every doctor, lawyer, and Indian chief, you finally start crying out for God, there's no guarantee he's going to hear you. I didn't say he wouldn't. I have a guarantee here. Seek me early on in your situation, and I'll hear you. You'll find me. Verse 18, riches and honor. What does this say? Riches and honor are with me. You know what parenthesis means? In the King James, that means it was put there for effect. It wasn't in the original. Okay? Riches and honor with me. If you look up "with me," what you're really saying is riches and honor me. What's that mean? That means I am riches and honor. Seek me. I am riches and honor. Seek me. I'm not just riches and honor. I'm durable riches and honor. This is lasting stuff here. My fruit is better than gold, better than fine gold, and my revenue is better than choice silver. My revenue? God has revenue? I don't know, man. I get turned on when I get with Him. I get blessed. I get enlightened. I'd call that a good source of revenue. I lead the way of righteousness in the midst of passive judgment. Here's why. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. You know why most of us are just barely getting by? We don't believe that. If I were to convince you tonight that if you sought God early, from first to last, and there's no other gods before you, you're not being influenced by any other forces, that you'd get wealthy. Who wants to sign up? Well, there it is. Sign up. I love those that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. All right, God, I think I'm going to commit to that one. I think I'm going to take that as a contract. And I'm entering in. It's a covenant on your side. Did you know that God covenants, but the covenant is never anything until you meet the other part of that? God's promise is never true to you until you become part of the contract. A contract takes two. A covenant takes two. Unless the covenant is, I'll just love you no matter what you do. And I'll provide you no matter what you do. And some places teach that, but it's not word. It says, seek me first, early, primarily, early on, and I'll give you treasures. I'll cause you to inherit substance. I will fill your treasure. I will fill you with treasure. You know what's more important to me than money? The treasures right out of God, whatever that is. Because you know what? It can be money when it's needed. It can be wisdom when it's needed. It can be authority and power when it's needed. It can be the anointing that you need or that person needs. It can be exactly what God has. He is. He can give through you. Why? Because you sought Him over everything else. Amen? What God claims you? Does the one and true God claim you, saying, "This is my son who I'm well pleased, my daughter who I'm well pleased"? Or does time and money and situations, do they claim you? What we value, what we cherish, and what we worship will bless us with what they are. Did you hear what I said? If I'm Jay Leno and I've got hundreds of cars in a garage, that is my blessing. That's as deep, far, and wide as it goes. And whatever those cars are, that's the blessing that I'm going to receive from them. But if I begin to see God as my wisdom, as my power, as my authority, not just see it, but listen to me, you have to proclaim it. If you don't say it out loud, you will not believe it. If you don't look at God and say, you're more precious than gold, I value you above, and then let God put in your mind what He knows you value, and the question, you're going to pass the test if you're trusting God. Because He'll put these things up in you, like, this is what I'm jealous about, this is what, and God say, yeah, you're more pretty. Oh my goodness, you're better than, oh yeah, that's nothing to me. And all of a sudden, He becomes first place. He becomes the early one that you seek. This is good. This is not only good, it's real. If you value God, cherish God, worship God above all, what He is, you'll be blessed with. Now, what isn't God? If He's all in all, if He's the beginning and the end. You've been blessed with all in all. You've been blessed with the beginning and the end. There's a thousand other things you could say, but you need to practice saying to God who He is. And if you do that often enough, you won't have any time to talk to the devil about who He's not. What do you bow to? Life. Let's go to Cozumel. Let's spend our anniversary together. Let's spend your birthday and my birthday. Let's get it on. Let's go and have fun. And she says, but who is she bowing to? But you fill in the blanks. But she's not bowing to the invitation that I'm talking about that God gives us. She is bowing to another God. Are you feeling convicted? Is God more important than anything? Is God more important than everything? How about more valuable, more beautiful, more awe-inspiring? Man, I'll tell you, my wife and I have been in some of the most beautiful places you can imagine. Every time she brought up while we were booking this thing, there's that Caribbean ocean, and it's absolutely gorgeous. I don't know if you were a diver, you'd know that 50-foot visibility is not bad. 100 is great, and Cozumel's a lot more than that. If it were possible, you dive over the side of that boat and you look down and you see 150 feet straight down and it's clear as a bell, it will take your breath away. You look, there's a world that you've never seen without end, and God is prettier and more awe-inspiring than that because He made it. He created it. You know who He created it for? He didn't need an ocean. I did. Those gorgeous fish. Those lobster that are 4 foot long. Those grouper that are 600 pounds that you go, oh man. Those barracuda that just stand and do like this at you when you swim by. Everything down there is just, and He is greater than that. And if He wasn't, I would make it so. In my heart of hearts, I would proclaim it until it was real. If I loved my wife more than God, I would put her in her place. Do you understand what I mean by that? I would lift Him up, not put her down. I would lift Him higher. If my savings account, I've got to have a certain amount of my savings account. If that worried me, I'm putting the savings account above God because I have not yet cast that on Him. I can speak of this because I'm a worrier. My mom taught me to be a worrier, and I'm getting over it. I'm going to get over it if it takes till the day I die. And if I don't get it quite complete, I will finish the course. You hear me? Fight the good fight of faith. And when you've done all you can stand, you stand. If my granddaughter doesn't ever get any better at worshiping God than that, she has finished a good run. It doesn't have to be perfect. My dad always said God never looks at what you hit. He looks at what you aim at. And He's 100% correct. If my goal is to lift Him up, if it was to place him at the highest place, and I tell him that constantly, he believes it. Why? Because I believe it. God is going to touch some things in my life, and I want him to. I don't even know what they are yet, but that promise told me he's going to show me. He didn't say he's going to scold me. He said he's going to show me. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you trust God? What time is it? I shouldn't even ask that. I don't care. Don't tell me. Yeah. Do you trust God when you can't see? I ask you a question. Am I just so awe-inspiring you're speechless? Do you trust God when you can't see and you don't understand? Do you value what God is up to even if it doesn't look so good? I see a lot of empty chairs here, and I'd like to ask all the people that aren't in these pews if they really trusted God through situations. Or did you go by what it looked and smelled like? Stop. Let's stop complaining because that places something above God. Let's start whining. Let's stop crying. Because tears don't do anything. Stop it. And let's, whatever that situation is, let's get bold enough and big enough to lift it up there and say, God, I didn't want it anyway. I don't understand where it's going to take me. I don't understand. I do understand that it's going to be better than where I am now. Why? Because I read the contract. He signed it in blood. If that's what it takes, I'll do the same. But I've signed it until blood is necessary. By the way, God doesn't need another Jesus. He's got one. Doesn't need another martyr. He's got one. He got the best. Take up your cross and follow me means stop complaining and do what I tell you to do. Trust me. You think Jesus trusted the Father? Take up my cross. Take up my cross and follow me. And if that same Spirit, while you're still alive and not on the cross, if that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will give life. And when God says life, it doesn't just mean a fast beating heart. It doesn't just mean a smile on the face. It means everything that pertains to life and godliness. I'll do it even to your mortal bodies. The thing that sinned against me, I'll do it even to your mortal body. God agrees to bless the thing that sinned against him. It caused us to sin against him. I'll put it correctly. You serve a good God? You serve a God you can trust? Serve a God you can trust? You see, what you know, I wish you'd make a commitment with me that over this next week or till Sunday, just try it till Sunday, don't tell God you love him once. Just tell him you trust him. See how it encourages you. You won't hurt his feelings. He already knows whether you love him or not. But he needs to hear from you that you trust him. And a test may come where you need to say it again. But I promise you, part of breaking religion, which I know is, and I appreciate so much the pastor's going through. That's kind of like, never mind. Is the fact that we learn, if we have to restate things so that we can get it done, it's okay. I'm telling you what God told me. I don't want to hear from you. I love you anymore because you don't know what it means. Just say, I trust you. And I'll show you what love is. He said to me one time, he said, I don't want to hear you love. I don't want to hear you love me because love is a decision. And can I tell you why we're screwed up in this country? Oh, I love you so much I want to marry you. Oh, baloney. Learn to trust the person. If you can trust the person, love will follow. That's what I'm trying to tell you about God. If you'll learn to trust him, we won't have to be discussing whether you love him or not. No trust, no love. I don't care what. If a marriage isn't built on trust, love can't exist. All right, let's get true spiritual about that. If it's not built on, I trust you, God. This may hurt. This may not sound right. This may be against everything. This is vertigo. This is flying against instruments. But I'm going to trust you no matter what. Try it. You'll like it. Try it. You'll like it. Stand with me. Praise you, Lord. I enjoyed tonight. I got to tell you, I'm enjoying this. I don't even want to quit. Because I get to say what's in my heart. I get to say it over. I get to put it on record. Now somebody can hold up that to me and say, did you say that? And I said, yes, sir, I did. And I meant every word of it. Write down proclamations that you make. Write them and put them on the wall. This is the promise I made to God. Date it. And watch Him remind you and make that thing work in your life. He's faithful. He's going to finish what He starts in you. Hallelujah. Come on, all hearts clear? I know sometimes I stretch your thinking. I know sometimes I stretch your yawn muscles. But once in a while, just trust me. We're going to get there. We really are. This church is going to get there. You know, I'm learning some stuff from Pastor Doyle, big time. And that is how to express some of these feelings that I never got to participate in at home. And I'm not blaming anybody. But I do learn. Are you learning? Cast your cares upon Him. Do it out of love and respect. Don't do it because you have to. Do it because you want to. If there's something wrong in your body, cast it on Him. What do you think? Let's just take an extreme. What do you think cancer would do if you could pull it out and hit God with it? How would it hurt God? Well, then don't be afraid to cast it on Him. Because you can't come up with a problem, a threat, a worry big enough that it's going to make a dent in Him. And He lovingly says, here it is, and against all common sense, you lovingly cast it upon Him. See, if we don't, this is one of the things you're going to have to do in faith. If I love somebody, it isn't in my nature to give them something bad. But God says, give me the bad. And that you have to submit to His command. And you have to trust Him. He's not going to get insulted that you send Him a bad gift. You are a bad gift. You're tainted. So everything's cool. Just give Him what you got. My little granddaughter gave Him what she had tonight. You watch. God bless her for that. Amen? All hearts clear? Please don't forget what we talked about tonight. Meditate on these things. If you need to hear it again, there's the CD back there. Do that on Sunday. Do whatever you can. Listen to the Word. When you can't, read it. I've got an iPod that has the whole Bible on it. And when I'm driving, I'm going on a distant drive, you plug that thing in. I'd rather hear the Word than my preaching. Even if it's full of the Word. It's serious business. What is your future? Your financial future? Your health future? You have a contract that says, oh man, I'll bless your socks off. Take Him up on it. You can't bankrupt Him. Heart's clear. What we've talked about tonight here is better than sleep. If somebody tells you we take too long, no way. It's better than sleep. By the way, the only thing left on there is a Democratic convention. My word. It's not worth going home to. All right. I'm not a Democrat, so you don't want me to get me started. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I stand in awe of you, Lord. With all my heart, I want to serve you. I want to trust you. And I will learn to be that good servant that brings you all of his worries and leaves without them. Do your work in me. Do your work in these people. This town, this area, we facing each other, we need to be those vessels that can be used and are being used by you. Do that sanctifying, cleansing, infilling power work that needs to be done. We accept it now in Jesus' name, knowing we will never be the same from this moment. We do it in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.